The greeting tonight is Chodesh Tov. It's already Rosh Chodesh Av. This is the second phase now of the Bein HaMitzar. We already passed the first part of the 3 weeks. We're now into the second phase of Chodesh Av. We know, of course, Mishnechas Av Matin Besimcha, which we'll talk about in just a minute. So that starts tonight. And basically, you're in. So again, we want to sort of up our sensitivity to the different aspects of the Avelos for the Bein HaMitzarim period. And if we didn't really feel it before, now we want to try to feel it a little bit more. Meaning we want to feel a little more of the Avelos of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Just to tell you, I last Shabbos I gave the shir for the Likutei Moharan shir on Shabbos afternoon. So I spoke a little bit about Bein HaMitzarim and about the idea of the Chisaron, the lack of Hitkalut HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that Hashem has not revealed himself in this world. And I guess we'll start with this Dvar Machshava. I don't usually do this, but just because I happen to have mentioned this last week. So Rabbi Nachman basically has this idea where he interprets a Medrash from Pasuk and Eicha, that the Medrash basically says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of did Kriya on his Beged. It's the way that they understand the Pasuk of Bitzayim Raso in Eicha Perak Bet, that Hashem literally means he carried out what he wanted to do. And the Medrash says what that actually means. Bitsa also doesn't just mean to carry out, like levatzia pulot. It also means levatzia, like betzia hapat, which means to cut. Mm-hmm. So the Medrash says it also means that he cut, ki'ilu, kivyachal, he cut his garment. Imrato, imra, I think in Aramaic also means a garment. So it means ki'ilu, he tore kriya. So the way that's part of it, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also in sa'ar, even though we deserved it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is mourning at the same time as us by ki'ilu, cutting his garment. Rabbi Nachman takes that a step further, and he says what happened at an additional level of drash is that basically the base of Migdash was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's makom. That's where Hashem was able to reveal himself in a way that people could appreciate. Meaning we can't appreciate all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness because it's too great for us. We can't handle all of it. But in the base of Migdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzim himself. He limited his presence in a way that we could just get a little bit of a glimpse of his light. And essentially what happened was because we weren't Zohar and because everybody did what they did at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy about. They violated all the Averus that they violated. So Hashem said, okay, so I'm not going to give you the privilege anymore of giving you, bestowing my light on you, giving my Hitzgalut on you. So what did he do? All he did was basically stop being mitzamtzim himself. He stopped limiting his presence in a way that people could understand and feel in the Beis HaMikdash. And what happened when that took place? Basically what happened was the Beis HaMikdash could not hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence anymore. And basically it just exploded. Okay? It just sort of split. It burst. That's the way that the Likutei Moharan understands that that idea of the tearing of the garment. It's not just tearing the garment in tsar, it's also the garment being the Beis HaMikdash, which was the encapsulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory. So Hashem just made it that he wouldn't limit himself anymore and we wouldn't be able to be zocha to that presence. And once that happened, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is lokal haaretz kvodo in a very real way, which can't fit into the Beis HaMikdash, and suddenly the Beis HaMikdash just sort of exploded. It fell apart. So that's part of, you know, we want to try to be feeling that we're missing that today. We don't have that Hitzgalut that they had in whatever small sense they had in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're trying to get back. And it's something, again, we mentioned this last week already. We want to be able to feel that and try to understand a little bit more of what we're missing and appreciate that this world is lacking a lot of things. Again, we mentioned last time about the idea of terror, the idea that we don't know exactly what we're supposed to do. We don't have the clarity of how we're supposed to go about life in many different ways that relate to, you know, Judaism and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all those things are things that we want to get back and we sort of miss, even though we never were in the temple ourselves, but we understand what was there and we want to try to get it back. So basically, after this year, I mentioned at one point I was talking about things, ways to improve on ourselves during this time period. And I mentioned, you know, the halachas are all geared towards making us feel this. The halachas, as we said last week, are not just, you know, details that are made to make our life difficult, but rather they're made to elevate our mentality to get us to a different level. And one of the things I mentioned when we were talking about Avelos was, you know, the idea that some people do Tikkun Chatzos, especially during this period, even if they don't do it the rest of the year. Some people specifically do it during this time period. So somebody happened to mention to me the next day, they said that they couldn't sleep that night, and they did Tikkun Chatzos. And I said, great. Thinking in my mind, that's not something I would ever do, but I guess if somebody else did because of me, maybe I get the schar for it. You know? So not that I'm against Tikkun Chatzos, Chas V'Shalom, but it's not the kind of thing that I was ever brought up to do. It's something which is, you know, mentioned in the strict halachic sfarim. But Baruch Hashem, you know, if somebody else is getting a certain sense of you know, of avelos from it. So then that's wonderful. And again, I guess what that does, even if I'm not saying that that's something that we should all do, though it's something to think about, I guess, is that at least gives you that perspective. It makes you feel the emotion of your, you know, lacking for the base of Yiddish. And this is clear, by the way, from the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch says that every person is supposed to be upset because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. I don't have one here, but if you look it up afterwards, I think it says like, Ra'ui l'chol adam shi'id'ag v'meitzar al Chorban Beis HaMikdash, something like that, okay? I remember the exact lashon. But if you want to open it up, Siman Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, if you're imatazo, farzocher, mashu kaze, nachon. So that's very important, even if that takes the form of tikkun chatzos, or if not, if it just takes the form of you know, just a feeling or a mentality or other things that we do during this time. So especially during the 9 days is the proper time to be to have that feeling that it's not just a set of rules, and it's not just okay. Intellectually, I know that there's no base of mitzvah. Intellectually, I know we say in davening it's an emotion also. I feel it. It's missing. It's missing. It gets me here. You know. That's Bezer Hashem, what we want to get to. Okay, that's my introduction, basically. Let's go. It's fine. Okay, no problem. No problem. Okay, if you have Chelek Bava, that would actually be really helpful. Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Bava. Yeah, yeah. Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, they go together. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah volume has the Shulchan Aruch also. Okay, so now let's go into the halachas with that in mind. So the first thing is, I think we mentioned this last week, but if not, we'll just mention it now, that we know that there's different periods of time, even during the 9 days, okay? And I think we all know this, but we'll just flesh it out. So one is the 9 days, okay, meaning the beginning of Av, okay? And the other one is what we call Shavua Shechalba. What is Shavua Shechalba? So I mentioned this already. Remember what Shavua Shechalba is translated as?
The week of.
Right, the week of. What does that mean? It means that there's an even more severe status of Avelos during the actual week of Tisha B'Av. Falls on, meaning most years you have let's say the 9 days starts on, let's say Monday or Tuesday, and then you go till Shabbos, and then from Shabbos until Tisha B'Av, which would be whatever day it is, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, so then that would have even an additional level of Avelos. This year that doesn't happen. Okay, we'll see in a minute what the distinctions are between the different halachos. But before we get to that, so now this year we know that Tisha B'Av is a Nidche and it falls out on Sunday. So there's a big discussion about this year whether there is a status of Shavua Shechalbo. And the Shulchan Aruch does deal with this. And he says, basically, that the halacha is, he brings down basically the following opinions. He says, Im chal Tisha B'Av yom rishon, o b'Shabbos v'nidcha lachar Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, or this year like it's a nidcha, when it really should have been on Shabbos, then it was pushed off till Sunday. So then he says that all of these, the halachos that are relevant during Shavua Shechalba, which we'll see shortly what they are, so they're all mutter on all the way, basically through the second Shabbos, meaning right up till Tisha B'Av. And then he says some people have the minhag to forbid it during the whole week before, meaning basically we would call from Motzei Shabbos till the end of next week. That was, some people have the minhag to forbid it. Okay? So the bottom line is that most Sephardi poskim hold like the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, that this year there's no Shavua Shechalbo. Okay, that's the opinion of most poskim and Sephardi poskim, that there's no problem of Shavua Shechalbo this year, and therefore any aspects of Shavua Shechalbo will not be relevant this year. Ashkenazim, of course, as we know, are machmer more than that, and the Ramah points this out here and a few other places, that we're machmer on everything, almost everything. Almost everything from Rosh Chodesh, meaning from tonight, we're machmir on most of the things. So the question of Shavua Shechalbo for Ashkenazim is not nearly as relevant. There were just a couple minor things which are not, you know, the main situations that would be a question. But most things are going to be usher no matter what. Okay, good so far. Okay, the starting Pesach is brought down in the Kaf HaChaim in this siman, and I think a few other places as well. I think in the Yalkut Yosef also brings it down. Okay, great. So now, let's start with the questions of Rosh Chodesh Av. Okay, which things are clearly problematic all the way from Rosh Chodesh Av? So this is already a Mishnah. If you remember the Mishnah, in Tanis, somebody who made a seal on Tanis recently, or heard one last night, if they had... So one of the Mishnahs from Tanis and the Gemara, they're discussing it. So they mention, as we said, Mishenichnas Av Mimatim Misimcha, we reduce our amount of Simcha. And then the Mishnah actually has a few practical examples of exactly what's done. So in addition to just the general fact that we have less simcha, which is just a sort of a general mentality, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be happy. It means that you should have, you know, just the same way as if you're in Avelos, you know, in Shloshim, which is the rough parallel to this period of time. The 9 days is roughly parallel to the period of Shloshim. for somebody who passed away, a relative who passed away. So also your level of simcha is, you know, naturally supposed to be ideally a little bit less than usual. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't have simchas, you know, simcha in serving Hashem and simcha during, you know, limud Torah and mitzvahs and stuff like that. But I mean, in general, your general sense should be a little less. What are the practical examples? So one thing that's mentioned, which we're not going to go into now so much, is business. Okay, interestingly enough, right? That it says we reduce our business dealings during this time. Anybody here reduce their jobs or reduce their hours of work during this time?
I could.
I'm the only one who did. You know why? That's not because of this. It's because
your kids are off.
Exactly. My kids are off. I can't get my hours anyway. So it's a good time of year at least to be, you know, to feel at least there's a good reason why I don't have to feel too bad that I'm missing half of my hours because my wife and I both need to work and my kids are all home. So other than that, though, so again, it's mentioned in the halacha, but the Achron basically say that Lamaisa, we're not so makbid on that because today we need parnasa and you can't take off so many hours from work today. Because if you do that, you probably won't have a job anymore. And even those that could take off hours, it seems like the minute today is not to be mocked to do it. If you want to, you know, it's a wonderful chumrah, but it's not required, it's not necessary. And it's not one of the things that people suggest, oh, well, if you want to look for a chumrah, take this chumrah. Okay, that doesn't seem to be one of the things that's done today. So you don't have to worry too much about, in terms of business. If it's like, you know, taking on something extra which you don't need to do and you want to make more money, and okay, you could talk about it, but in general, there's not really anything to, this is not one of the things that's generally accepted today to be machmir on. The other aspects that are mentioned here are buying new things. Okay, buying certain important types of garments or items is mentioned as something which we generally do not do during this time period. Anybody know what the possible parameters might be of this? It's not exact, but just in general.
Anybody have something needed not for the 9 days itself, like food might be okay, but needed
food is for sure fine. Okay.
New what else? Clothing,
okay. What'd you say? Okay, so Shechianu we already spoke about last week. That's probably problematic even from the beginning of the 3 weeks.
Is it possible to wear? I had a question came from home about wearing a new shirt on Shabbos.
Oh, so a new shirt is generally not recommended. We haven't even gotten to that yet.
I guess but on Shabbos right now. Is the question.
On Shabbos, it's generally recommended not to wear a new shirt. Also, even if you wouldn't make a Shechianu on it, though. That's I think we mentioned last time. It's a question whether you're supposed to make shachianu on new clothing like shirts and pants and stuff like that. So there's different minhagim. Either way is fine. My impression was that most people do not make a shachianu on those things, and my wife decided to she corrected me. She didn't correct me. She suggested that many women might make a shachianu on new clothing, even if men don't. If anybody has any comments on that, I'd be very happy to hear about that. What did you say?
Yeah.
That's what I thought, and that's why I insisted to my wife, and she insisted that I'm wrong. She told me I'm dead wrong. I said, I think I'm dead right, but I don't want to argue with you. So. And then my kids got upset because they said, why are you arguing, Mommy? Why are you arguing? And we said, we're not arguing. This is just a fun, you know, little debate. And they didn't get it. They were very upset. So, Baruch Hashem, they don't see more arguments between us. But the Zerash Rebbe should be like that. But I still, then she showed me something online that they said that many people do make a shachianu. Or, I don't know. Okay, my personal impression is that most people, even women, don't make a shachianu on most clothing that they buy. But again, I'm happy to hear. Otherwise, I'm happy Rav Holstein agrees with me, I guess. But again, he was talking to me. Were there any women there?
Yeah.
There were some women there?
The wedding usually are, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was just major garments. Like for guys, it would be a suit. For women, it would be like a homeless
dress. There's different opinions. Okay, both opinions are legitimate. The question is, we were just asking which opinion is more commonly followed.
He said though that you could say. So
yeah.
No, like,
right. Yeah. Correct. The question is just what's considered important for you. If something which is special to you, then definitely you could make a shachianu. But I personally, again, I thought the minhag is not to. Not that you can't, but that generally most people don't, and my wife thought that most people do. Again, most is a very relative term. It's hard to say who most is. So, anyways, that's that. In general, on Shabbos, again, one could argue that maybe it's better, but halacha l'maisa, for new clothing in general, new clothing probably should not be worn on Shabbos, certainly during the 9 days. During the 3 weeks, if it's not a shachianu item, then you probably could. During the 9 days, probably not. New clothing during the night is generally not okay. If it's a wash clothing, that's already a different question, which we'll get to shortly. Okay, so that's in terms of that. Other types of purchases, which are major purchases, and generally should not be done if possible. Okay, I think we mentioned this last time. If you have, you know, big things like a big purchase, like a dryer or a refrigerator or an air conditioner or a car or things like that. So generally speaking, most of those items, most of the posts can frown on buying during the 9 days, unless, let's extend that also, to other types of garments.
Is that also about selling or only about buying?
Selling is probably fine. We're talking about buying because it's a purchase for you.
We're getting an oven delivery next week.
Okay, so again, let me just be clear. The things that I'm talking about is based on simcha. Okay, everything that the Achron talked about in terms of getting, you know, items that talked about appliances and clothing, which is new clothing should not be bought during the 9 days, all that kind of stuff, which again is mentioned in all the poskim here. It's all based on simcha. So therefore, the poskim write, and look here, basically they say that if it's not something which is based on simcha, it's based on something that you need, okay, usage, so then halachically it would be mutzer. Okay, I'll just read you Rabbi Eider's thing here. Where does he say it here? He's got a nice way of summarizing it. Let's see here. Here. Page 5, he says that, he talks specifically about objects of simcha, like silver for one's wedding. Okay? Okay. Okay.
שאם מישהו צריך איזו תרופה באיזשהו מקום, אז קיצור, אם מישהו יודע, מישהו שטס הלילה לניו יורק, צריך להביא תרופה לשם.
Oh, wow. Okay. לא קשור לה. הבנתי. אני לא מכיר מישהו. Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. בעזרת השם. We get שכוח. Okay, yeah, so he talks here about, specifically about objects of simcha. Should not be purchased during the 9 days if you're able to avoid them until afterwards. But again, you know, generally the post can say that the same thing is true for other things as well. Things that you need, you'd be allowed to get. Here he says it's simply prohibited to purchase or to make new garments or shoes during the 9 days, even though they're not needed until after the 9 days. Okay, that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah basically say here. Even if you're not planning on using it until after the 9 days, it's better not to get it during the 9 days. But again, if it's something which you need, which is important, so then it'll be mutter. Okay, because that's not really an issue of simcha, it's an issue of just, you know, it's burning hot or you can't cook your food because you have no oven, whatever the case is. Okay? Good. In terms of the exact details of how, which things you can buy and not buy, so it's not so clear, but basically what they generally say is that anything which is, you know, clothing or, you know, nice things that you normally would, you know, that are considered to be significant purchases, even if it's like a, you know, not like 3,000 shekel purchase, but even, you know, something which is like 100 shekel purchase. So it's better to avoid buying those during the 9 days if you can avoid it. But again, if you're going to lose out on a sale or if there's some other reason why it's difficult to wait, so then it would be fine. Okay, it's not a problem. Sfarim, even some folks can say that Sfarim also should not be bought during this time. But what did they? Kinos is for sure fine according to everybody because it's for Tisha B'Av. But most Muslims say that Sfarim also, bottom line, is permitted because it's for a mitzvah, it's for learning Torah. Okay, so the halacha might say that would be fine. Okay, a few other examples here, interestingly enough. Building and planting. So you can spend a whole hour talking about this, which we're not going to do now. But just the general rule is that we generally do not build for simcha purposes during the 9 days. This is based also on the Mishnah of the Shulchan Aruch. Binyan shel simcha is generally not allowed.
Like anybody building here, they should stop during the 9 days, theoretically?
Okay, so here's a story. If number one, if a goy is doing it, okay, and they're doing it based on their schedule, not based on your schedule, meaning you didn't tell them to work during this time. It's a house which is being built, which is going to take a year to be built, or 5 years to be built, as the case may be. So that's not your problem. Okay, we're talking about here is building, which is a short-term building, which you specifically want to take place during the 9 days.
Closing a deck or something.
Yeah, anything like that, or building another room, or, you know, anything like that. So in general, again, assuming that it's not necessary right now, so it should ideally should not be done during this time. If they choose based on their schedule to do it now because it's convenient for them, so again, there's a question if you can ask them to push it off. You know, if you don't lose anything, it's probably better. But if not, as long as a goy is doing it, it's probably fine. If you have a Jew doing it, that's more of a problem because the Jew himself is not supposed to be doing that during the 9 days. But if it's a goy doing it and that's what's better for them, so then that's fine. Did we? Oh, no, we didn't do this last week. Okay. Again, this applies to a lot of the other types of home improvement types of issues. However, let me put it this way. It's a machlokas about painting, whether painting and decorating inside your house is okay or not. Many posts are machmir on this as well. Moshe has a tshuva where he seems to be machmir about painting during the 9 days, and it seems like the consensus of the postman in general is that it's better to be machmir for that type of thing during the 9 days as well. Again, if it's necessary or you can't do it afterwards, so it's going to be nekil, but l'chadchila, it seems like painting is included. It's not really binyan, it's not exactly building, But the point is that it's similar enough to the idea, the concept of Binyan Shel Simcha, that in general it's better to avoid it during the 9 days if possible. Okay. Other examples, again, you can all sorts of stuff here. Another example they talk about is moving during the 9 days. Would you say that moving during the 9 days is a problem? What would you guess? If you have to move houses during the 9 days?
Never fun.
Never fun, okay. The question is that considered to be an auspicious thing? Is it a good thing? Is it something which gives you simcha to move during the 9 days? It's not fun. At the end of the day, are you happy that
you moved? If you move from a renting house to your own house.
What?
If you're moving from a rented house to your own house, it might be fun. You're finally moving into something that's yours.
But it's easier very to sell.
Right. Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, that's a good point. So the bottom line is like this. The bottom line is that most poskim say, and this is mentioned in a few of the different sfarim. I saw it in the Nikrei Kodesh, and the Harari Sefer, and the Yalkut Yosef, and the Piskei Tshuvos. They all talk about this. They say, Me'ikra Din, moving is not building. Okay, at least that last time I checked. You might do building beforehand, but when you move houses, you're not building anything. So Me'ikra Din should be mutter, to move during the 9 days. And yet, it seems like the minug is to be machmir, meaning that if it's possible to wait till after the 9 days, it's better to wait during the 9 days, either because it's something which creates a little bit of simcha, which again, maybe it doesn't, but that concept of moving houses sometimes might create a little bit of simcha, or because it's not considered to be an auspicious time, meaning the same way that we know during the beginning of from Rosh Chodesh Av, you're not supposed to have a lawsuit with a non-Jew because it's not an auspicious time, so it could be also here. You know, moving houses is maybe not the best time to be doing something like that, just because of the fact that it's an inauspicious time to do so. So again, bottom line is that...
The funny thing was that the Girush had to be...
I don't know what to say. You know, I don't even want to say anything about the Girush. I'm scared to go there. But yeah, it's very ironic, right? Anyway, so again, bottom line is Mikra Din is mutter, but the minhag is to try to push it off. Again, it's mutter, especially, as you said, because of, you know, especially if you buy a house in Eretz Yisrael, that's generally also considered to be mutter because it's a mitzvah. But again, if you can push it off till after the 9 days, then it's better to do so, and I think that's what most people do. Meaning most people that move, you'll see, it generally takes place either before the 9 days or after the 9 days. This year was easy because August 1st was before the 9 days. So August 1st is a very big moving day, right? Okay. Anyway, so that's the story with moving. The other thing that's mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch, also again from Rosh Chodesh Av, is Nitiya Shel Simcha, is planting. Okay, so planting is also problematic. What is planting? So planting basically means planting a garden. Okay, meaning planting big things in your gardens is going to be a problem. So the Piskei Tshuvos quotes from Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, the Rav Yosef Ephraim, and a few others. That that would include, you know, if you bought a tree, if you planted a tree during the 9 days, or you took a tree and you reinserted it into the ground, probably also the same thing, most probably. If you planted flowers, anything like that, which is, you know, considered to be like notea, would possibly be a problem. I don't think it means like plant vegetables or, you know, things which you could, you know, eat shortly afterwards. But certainly fruit trees or even other trees and flowers and things which look nice, that generally should be avoided during the 9 days. Okay. What they do say, though, if I ask you what happens if you, what about pulling out weeds or mowing the lawn or things like that, would that be usher as well? Or you would say that's different? I need some participation here. It's been a week. What do you say?
Kind of like general maintenance.
Right. Yeah. So you're saying that's okay or it's not okay?
If you don't do it now, the weeds are going to get bigger. It's going to be harder to do.
Okay, good. So the bottom line is that that's mutter, okay? Meaning everything we're talking about, again, the tia shel simcha. Simcha means simcha, okay? You might be happy to mow your lawn, but it's not the same thing as planting a tree. It's not the same level of simcha as you get by putting in something new, okay? So just to maintain what you have right now is perfectly fine. In addition to the fact that, what you said, Chaim, that it's, you know, if you wait too long, it's going to get even worse, then it'll be even harder to do.
So pruning a tree would probably be okay.
Probably be fine, yeah. Yeah, mistama, though again... It's
sweeping the artificial grass.
Yeah.
Sweeping the artificial grass.
You know, we've been waiting for artificial grass. Our landlord decided to put it in for us, and they put down the rocks for the grass like 3 weeks ago, and they still haven't put in the grass yet. We're not sure what happened. They disappeared. They vanished. I don't know what happened to them. Anyway, so yeah, that mistama, that should be okay. Mm-hmm. Mistama. If you ask me whether putting in artificial grass is also a problem... you know, it's artificial, so you could argue it's okay, but it seems to be like it's against the spirit of the law, even if it would be technically mutter, even though it's not actual grass. It seems to be like it would be in the same category of Natiya Shel Simcha, even if it's not actual technical Natiya. That's, again, I didn't see that discussed anywhere. I didn't really look, but that's my personal feeling. I'm happy to hear if somebody says otherwise. Okay, other things we mentioned before about court cases with a non-Jew that also should be pushed off, ideally, during this time from Rosh Chodesh Av. We already talked about weddings and stuff like that. We spoke about that as well last week.
With Jews, it's okay?
Was that?
You said specifically with non-Jews.
quotation.
So Jew, that's hard to say because a Jew is like...
Both are bad
dogs. Exactly, both are bad dogs. So they don't talk about Jews being a problem, having poor kids with another Jew, because it's, you know... so I guess that, you know, I guess it's moderate. We've talked last week already about having surgery and stuff like that. Other things which are dangerous, we said already questionable during the 3 weeks, but certainly during the 9 days is even more of a question. Together with that, just mention, did I mention last time about flying? I think I mentioned this, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about flying? Yeah. I'm getting confused between the women's share and the men's share. I definitely spoke, maybe spoke about their share, but not last week. Okay, so is flying okay during the 9 days?
Not great.
It's not great.
Is it pleasure flying?
It's
or is
dangerous.
It
good. Dangerous, okay.
Better to put it off.
Though. Okay, good.
Why is flying dangerous?
Okay, good. Also true. Also true.
When you're going overseas, it's a gomel. You bench a gomel afterwards.
Okay. Not necessarily. It depends where you're going. Okay.
So it's a very, very interesting. The question of flying is very interesting and actually is very common, Bizman has it. Rav Vosner, I saw somewhere quoted, Rav Vosner, that's how, from B'nai Rak. So they quote him somewhere in one of these pamphlets. So he apparently was very, very not into flying during the 9 days. He thought it was very bad. It's sakana. And it's not good, and et cetera, et cetera. He says you shouldn't do it. However, I think other posts can feel like that maybe it's not a great thing, but I don't think they would say that it's a serious problem. The Nitzik Gavriel here, Gavriel Zinner, so he says, and Rivari also quotes this in the Green Book, so they talk about specifically leaving Eretz Yisrael, that maybe to fly to Chutzpah specifically is more of a question of not sakana, but the same idea of Rea Mazlet. It's an inauspicious thing to do during the 9 days, even if you hold that as halachically mutter to do so, which again obviously depends on the case, but assuming that you're going to be mekel, so they feel that that's not a great thing to do. I think they would all agree that if you're going for business, that would be permissible. But they're talking about if you're going
for
pleasure.
You're supposed to cut down
on. Right, okay. Right. So you might lose your job if you don't fly. You're supposed to lose. Right. So again, myself, we're mekel on that. So if it's for business, it's probably fine. But again, the bottom line is that basically the custom in general is that if you're able to push it off till after the 9 days, that it's probably better to do so, but it's not the most serious thing, especially given who else said this? No, you said, who said flying was dangerous? You said flying was dangerous. Okay, so I think that the latest statistics from even the past 20 years is that it's like safer to fly than it is to go in a car, especially in this country. In Israel, I think the rates of accident rates here are much, much higher than the rates of flying, God forbid, of accidents. Again, we've had a few lo aleinu, terrible tragedy over the past year or two in the aviation industry across the world. But in general, I think it's still safer to fly in a plane than it is to drive in a car, especially on certain roads, which say kvish misukan on them, if you know what I mean. So again, I don't think it's really a problem to fly during the 9 days, but if you have no particular need to fly now as opposed to next week or the week before, it's slightly preferable to push it off or bump it up so you don't have to worry about it. That would be my personal opinion. Again, there's different things. He quotes here, Nitzik Gavriel, that the Chachmei Yerushalayim had a specific thing that they felt that you shouldn't fly during the 9 days. So again, you can find what you want here. It's a gray area. There's room to look in both, to go in both directions. Okay. Next. I think we're on to most of the things now, Shavuot Shechalbo. Let's talk about different levels of questions of Shavuot Shechalbo now. Okay. First thing, let's talk about eating meat and drinking wine. Okay, this is probably a very big one, but we'll see why I'm talking about that first in just a minute. Are you allowed to eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days? The answer is, the custom is, I shouldn't say you're allowed. The custom is that we don't. Okay. The custom is that we don't. The halacha is, by the way, only that it's only usher during which period? Anybody know? When is it actually usher? Exactly. During the time of Suda Mavsekas. Okay, Suda Mavsekas is when the Gemara says it's actually usher to eat meat and drink wine. The rest of the time, it's only a minhag. It's a very strong minhag, but it's only a minhag. Okay. Now, when does the minhag begin? So for Ashkenazim, we know Ashkenazim begins tonight, okay, Rosh Chodesh Av. No more meat or wine during Ben Ashmashas. Also, many post-Gemara Machmer during Ben Ashmashas, already from Shkia. Generally speaking, most people say it's better to avoid. The question what does Sfardim do? And the answer is that it's not so clear, but many Sfardim also are Machmer on eating meat and drinking wine. This is what many of the Sfardi postim say, that eating meat or drinking wine should also be usher.
From when?
So from now. I'll tell you in a second. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Tes. First he says, Yesh noagim shelo lechol basar v'lo shelo lishos yayin b'shabazu, that the custom, some people have the custom not to eat meat or drink wine during this week, meaning Shavua Shechalbo. And then he says, and some people, Yesh mosifin, some add from Rosh Chodesh. Okay, and then he says, some add from Shemos and Batamos. That, I don't think most people do today. But basically, many Sephardi poskim say that the custom, the prevalent custom, is to start now. from the, during the 9 days, and not to wait till Shavuot Shechalbo when it comes to eating meat and drinking wine. But okay, it's not absolutely clear cut, and there are some that would be makil about that. In addition to that, many Sephardi posts say, again, this also I think is in the Alfi Yosef, and I think Ferrari brings this down, that it may not be from tonight, okay, but rather from Bet Ba'av, meaning tomorrow night. I mean, Rosh Chodesh, they don't include. Okay, maybe the Kappa Chaim says this also. Rosh Chodesh, according to that, would not be included. And for Sephardim, they would start from tomorrow night, which is Friday night this year, which is, anyways, Mutzer, but from the night of Bet Ba'av would be the custom to Machmir. Okay? So, again, there are different opinions about that, but that seems to be the more prevalent customs, even for Sephardim, is to start tomorrow night, and for Ashkenazim, certainly to start tonight. Okay? So that's like Shavuot Shechalbo, maybe 9 days. It's like somewhere in the middle in terms of which way you're categorizing it. The idea is, again, it is based on the idea of Simcha. It gives you Simcha to have meat and drink wine. Also, the idea is Korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash. They used to have Korbanos, which were based on, obviously based on meat and wine. So it's a sort of like, remember that we don't have Korbanos Bezman Hazeh, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now, so what are the parameters of eating meat and drinking wine? And what things are included? Okay, meat's usher. Very nice. Thank you. Is chicken usher?
Yes.
Most Muslims say yes. The bottom line is that chicken is also problematic during this time. But how far do we take this? Okay, what about, let's say, if you have cholent, which is, let's say you have meat in your cholent and you have potatoes and barley in your cholent. Can you eat leftovers, if your leftovers still taste good, of your cholent on Sunday night, let's say, or Monday night?
Is it what you
mean? Would you say?
No.
I won't go there.
Okay. So the answer is...
He doesn't eat leftover cholent.
What'd you say?
He doesn't eat leftover
cholent. Yeah, right. That's obvious. He doesn't have a taste for... Okay. The answer is it's machlokas. Okay, so you're both right. The bottom line halacha is, according to the Mishnah Berurah at least, this is the prevalent custom, is that we generally are machmir. Okay, meaning that even if you have a dish like a cholent or a meat stew with potatoes, so you not only can you not eat the meat, but you also can't eat the potatoes or the other parts of the dish with it. Okay?
Lo batel.
Mazeh?
Lo batel.
Nachon, lo batel. Zeh tovel al ma itkavanta. Im ata mitkaven le batel b'shishim, az zeh inyan acher. אבל בתל נגיד, בתל כאילו 40%, משהו כזה, נכון. Okay, meaning any dish which is cooked together with meat, so that has, generally speaking, has the ta'am of meat in it, so that's problematic, okay, that you can't eat during the 9 days. However, what happens if you want to use a meat pot? Okay, let's say you had your pot that you used for chicken soup, and you washed it out, and 3 hours later you want to cook something tarav in it. So it's still ben yomo, but there's no actual meat or chicken inside. Is that permissible to do?
No
problem. You can let me do that. Okay, thank you. You're right. Good. Okay, so Mishnah Berurah says that's fine. Okay, why? Because again, the idea of the Simcha or the Korbanos, it's not really, even though, yes, you know, if you ask me, oh, I cooked something treif, or I put something milk in the meat pot and it was ben yomo, so then already we could talk, maybe it's a problem. But when it comes to this question of the 9 days and the Simcha, so then already, you know, we're not worried about any Simcha or anything like that when there's no actual meat in the pot, even if it's ben yomo. Okay? Good.
What about falafel from a place that cooks schnitzel in the same oil?
Good. So the question is, what do they do exactly? Meaning, if right now, okay, they have that oil, and they put the schnitzel in the oil, and they took out the schnitzel, and they put the falafel in, so then Mistelman, that's a problem. Okay.
It's like boiling oil all day.
Yeah, so Mistelman, that would be more of a problem.
Meat taste.
Yeah, that's Mistelman more of a problem.
No, there's no meat taste. Boy, it's like gallons of oil.
Now, the other question is, again, we're not going to go into this now, but the other question is a restaurant supposed to be serving Bisari during the 9 days? Again, let's assume for now that the Sephardim are Machmir. Okay, the Sephardim Mikkel, you don't have a question, but then the Sephardim can eat it. But if not, so then that restaurant probably shouldn't be serving schnitzel in the first place. Yeah. But yeah, we know sometimes that happens. Okay, and there's posts that discuss this, by the way. Is a person who owns a restaurant allowed to keep the restaurant open during the 9 days if they're selling meat? Okay.
If
you
do the same every day.
If you what?
Do the
same. That's right. But it's got to be every single hour of the day.
Seems every hour. Meal.
What?
Unless you're having one long meal.
Right, yeah, exactly. Keep the meal going all day. Anyway, so again, the post interesting discussion, not for now. There are postcom that are makeal about that, interestingly enough. I don't know if it's a good idea, but it's definitely, according to many postcom, it's halachically mutter, if that's the situation. But in terms of the actual food, the meat, the you know, anything which is cooked in that same oil as the schnitzel would be meat. Okay. What about wine? What is the status of wine? So wine we know is usser. Same thing we say? Good. So grape juice, what do you say about grape juice, everybody? Right. So the bottom line is that most postkim are machmir on grape juice, based on the fact, which we're not going to get into now, basically the idea that grape juice is generally very similar to the freshly squeezed grapes.
And
okay,
other alcohol drinks like beer and...
So that's generally also Which day?
They're okay.
So I guess, what are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
Other year. Oh, I see, the year, yeah. So that probably would be better. What does he say here about that? Meaning the simcha that you have in wine would not necessarily be the same type of simcha when it comes to those things. So that already might be better. That's, by the way, you're right. That's also why some people say maybe for Havdalah, maybe it's better to make a Havdalah on those kinds of things. What's that? You'll do it right now. Just give me a second here. So bottom line is that...
Wait, the first question is like a beer in the middle of the week.
Yeah. So generally speaking, that's still... Yeah.
Yes, the question.
I don't know. Okay, let's take that away. Right? We won't deal with that. Let's not get started. We won't get started there. Okay. The Seder. So we'll stay away from that. Hypothetically, right? Okay. What's it called? Yeah, so generally grape juice is a problem. No grape juice during the week. When it comes to Havdalah, the question is, what are you supposed to do about Havdalah? So the answer is, who remembers what the halacha is about Havdalah?
If you have a kid.
Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch actually says that Havdalah, believe it or not, is mutzer. The Shulchan Aruch says that mutzer lishtos yayin Havdalah v'yirkas hamazon. You're allowed to drink the wine for Havdalah and even for benching, for those that are generally machmir to have benching on a kos.
Like in the middle of the week?
Yeah. Interestingly enough. That's, again, the Shulchan Aruch, which we said before is maybe a little bit more mekel. Maybe. Even though the bottom line is he's machmir, but you know there's more room to talk about it. So he says that's permissible. The Rama comes along and says no, Ashkenazim generally are machmir and do not drink wine for Havdalah or for Birkas HaMazon. So for Sephardim, there is room to say that it would be permissible to drink the wine. For Ashkenazim, in general, we don't do that. And for Ashkenazim, what do we do instead? What do we do generally? What's the custom? Okay, good. What age does the kid have to be?
All right. Most 13, younger than 9.
Okay, good. So, right. Okay, good. That's basically what the bottom line is. Okay. So essentially, what happens is the kid has to be old enough to be age chinuch, which is roughly age 6, so that if you make a bracha and they drink the wine, the bracha can count for them because they're old enough that they would actually should be making brachas themselves. Okay. That's number one. That the child should be at least 6. This, by the way, is in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, you find the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Ayin in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph. But he says it can't be old enough yet to be at the age of Avelus, because if he's at the age of Avelus, or she at the age of Avelus, so then they shouldn't be drinking the wine either, because they have the same status as you.
You said she should drinking the double wine. I mean, there's always
it's a question. I think till age 9 it's probably okay. I don't know. You can go look around and see. I'm sure there are people that are machmir. Strictly speaking, in this particular situation, I think there's room to say that it should be okay. Especially because it's hard to begin with.
It's better for them to drink it than you to drink it.
I think so, yeah. I think so. So again, it shouldn't be more than age 9, because over age 9, they should be mourning themselves. They have the same customs as you do. Mitam chinuch. So therefore, that it would have to be basically between age 6 and 9 is ideal.
If they're over 9, it's better for you to drink it for them to drink it.
Excuse me? What?
If they're over 9, it's better for you to drink it for them to drink it.
Good question. I don't remember. You're allowed to drink it in that case. Meaning, if you don't have somebody to drink it who's a kid, you'd be allowed to.
6 and 9 is a good. 6 and 9 is okay for them to drink.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
Yeah, is it better for a field to do it all together? So you're minimizing out the wine that's being.
What do I have done together? I don't know if you have to do that. It's nice, but I don't think you have to go out of your way to do that.
So what if you don't have one of those kids around?
Right. So then you're allowed to drink. You're allowed to drink yourself. You can drink it yourself. Yeah, that's what they say. If you don't have somebody else around,
or use beer.
The Ramah himself says, "Umakam lakatzinok mutar ba'atzma lishtos havdala." You're allowed to drink it yourself. Okay. I don't think you drink the whole. Drink a revius. Okay, drink the minimum amount that you need to drink in order to be, you know, yotzei havdala, and also to be able to the question of brecha achrona. That's what I would think. Again, I'm not sure if you have a kid who's 10, is it better for you to drink or the 10-year-old to drink? I'm not sure. I think either way would be okay. I think either one is the same, but I'm not sure. I didn't see that discussed, at least not that I remember, so I have to look again. Okay.
So then, is it better to drink grape juice or beer?
So it seems like most of the posts can say that it's better to drink grape juice. Why? Because in general, Havdalah is better to drink wine if possible. However, the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's good for the adult to drink Chamar Medina, to drink like beer or whiskey or something like that. You can follow that if you want. But I think the more common practice is to follow the Mishnah Berurah, which is that it's better to drink the wine if you have an option of drinking wine.
Because if you open beer for that, you have to drink the whole beer.
I hear. Yeah. Is that what you want or is that what you don't want?
Ask him what's better.
If you said whiskey, so if you do a whiskey,
that's part of the shalom, and you're really supposed to have a revius, or at least a little lugav. So for Shabbos Day Kiddush, we're Mekel because it's Shabbos Day Kiddush. Some people are. But I don't think for Abdullah it's a good idea, because Abdullah is more for a shock last night, you're right.
They do what they want.
I agree. For Abdullah it's not great. Shabbos Day, the Kiddush is a Durabon, and it's not as big a deal. Abdullah is a Safek Doraisa. So Abdullah, I think it's better not to do that. If you're going to be drinking only a small shot glass. Again, there are kulas, there are ways to get out of it, but it's not, I think lechatchila it's better to not
get into
that.
What do we do this year to Shabbat night? Like, do we do Havdalah? Do we wait till Sunday night?
That's for next week.
Right.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. I don't know what we're going to do next week. We might have a separate shiur, so I don't take more of Daniel's slots here. Or maybe we'll do something this night if he is pushing me to, I don't know.
He has
to pack next
year.
Oh, is he leaving?
Well,
oh, so am I. Interesting. Okay. So maybe he wants...
So someone has to back.
All right, so we'll talk. Maybe we'll see. We'll figure out. The answer is that if you're not breaking your fast, you do not make Havdalah Motzei Shabbos. Okay. If you do have to break your fast, we have to discuss. But if you don't break your fast, you make Havdalah Sunday night. Okay. All right. Next. What are the exceptions to the rule about meat and wine? We don't have so much time left. Let's see what we can do here. Okay. So Siv was the big exception. Okay, there are a few that say maybe if you taste foods on Friday afternoon, that's like your general custom, you could be Mekel, like Shabbos foods. And personally, I'm not into that. But there are some that say based on the fact that there is an Indian to taste your Shabbos food on Friday afternoon, there are those that say that maybe it's more permissible to do that on this Friday afternoon as well. Again, personally, I'm not into that, but some do follow
this
that.
This one would be even more easy because there's Chodesh also, no?
Again, for Sfaradim, yes. And Sfaradim are some of the ones that say this to begin with. The Alka Yosef is the one of the ones who brings that down based on the Arizal. I think for Ashkenazim, it's not. I don't think it's recommended. Same thing is true for leftovers, especially for Malala Malka. If you have Malala Malka, you often have meat for us. Again, some are Mekil, but the standard Ashkenazi Pesach would seem to be that you should be Machmir. Okay. In terms of Sudas Mitzvah, Pidyon HaBen, Bris Mila, Siyum, all those kinds of things. So in general, the custom is based on the Ramah, I think, who says it. The Ramah says, in Sif Yud, that the custom, as we know, is to be Mekil. Okay, that you would be allowed to eat meat with any of those occurrences. Now, what has to be done in order to make a Siyum? Okay, I'm just focused on Siyum for a second. So again, there's a lot of details which we can talk about. We're not going to go into all of them now, just a couple of them. We know, of course, you make a Siyum, finish a Masechet of Gemara, that's for sure good. A Seder of Mishnayos is generally good. One Masechet of Mishnayos is probably not enough. Okay, that's the general rule
Seder.
What is that? One Masechet of Mishnayos is probably enough. A Seder is good enough, yeah. The same thing as you follow for like the general, what you do for Hadron. You generally make the Hadron the same one as Gemara for a Seder of Mishnayos. For one, the Seder of Mishnayos is not considered to be as major, as significant of a Siyum. So therefore, that's not generally done. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating tshuva about making a Siyum on a Sefer of Tanakh, where on a Sefer of Tanakh he's actually willing to be Mekil if you do it carefully with Mefarshim, like Be'iyun.
We did that.
Okay, then according to that, if you feel something significant, then you probably could be Mekil.
We did that with Rav Daniel a couple years ago.
During the 9 days.
The
okay,
days.
Yeah, so that's a legitimate kula. That's a legitimate psak. Okay, I'm saying Rav Moshe says it. So it's not just like I'm sure he wouldn't just make things up. Okay, so that's fine. That's good. That's assuming that you actually came to the shir every weekend and actually learned it, right?
Well, somebody did.
Somebody did. Okay, good. At least one person. At least he did it, right? Okay.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. At least he did it. Again, I would think the same thing is true for Mishnah also. If you learn Mishnah B'Iyun, a whole Masechet, one could argue the same thing would be true. There's a big discussion, as we know, is it appropriate to like make a point of finishing it during the 9 days when you weren't planning on finishing it that time otherwise? And you would have finished it 2 weeks before, but you pushed it off, daka to eat meat. That's a question, okay? It's a bit of a machlokas on that point, whether that's okay or not. Either way, there's room to follow either position on that. If you ask me personally, I think that if it's, I think it's better to try to work it out that it would be actually done during the 9 days for real. But, this is what you make a lot if you make a point of trying to finish it during the 9 days. Or delaying your seam, I think there's room to make it if you want. In terms of who can follow participate in the Siyum, so there's a whole discussion about this also. Bottom line is basically that anybody that you invite to the Siyum can participate. Okay, that's basically the bottom line. Certainly anybody that generally eats with you is generally permissible. And you don't have to say much more than that. Okay, again, Poskim do discuss that. But the bottom line is that even during the 9 days itself is generally, we're pretty makeable about that point. Okay, what else? There's, interestingly enough, Rabbi Eider says in his book here, that let's say that you were planning on coming to the Siyum, but then you actually missed the Siyum. Meaning, you got there in time for the meal, but you missed the actual Hadron. Mm-hmm. Can you still eat? Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Yeah.
Is that an intellectual response, or guttural, you know.
Yeah. You missed it.
You still be misdirected with the simcha of everyone else.
Okay, good. I would have thought like what Phil said, but Rabbi Eider passes like you guys. He says that it's mutzer. All right, I think he says kachnir or something like that. He says that although it is preferable to hear the siyum, if one is eligible to eat meat at a siyum but did not hear the siyum, a rav could be consulted. A rav should be consulted.
What do you mean you're eligible?
And then it means you could. Yeah, you're invited. You would have been part of that group of people. And then in parentheses he says v'nira d'shari. It seems like it should be permissible. Why is that? Because the Mishnah Berurah says that if you send food home with somebody afterwards, that's not okay for the person at home to eat the food from the siyum. I mean, they actually have to be at the siyum to eat the food. But the diuk that he's making, or Eider's making from there, is that if you are at the siyum but you just miss the actual hadron, then that probably be okay.
There are two things. Are you specifically saying that you can't eat the meat that was served at the thing, or are you saying that the person who's not at the siyum should not partake in any part of the meal of siyum? Like the whole thing with chasana about eating, going to a chasana, and there's an issue about eating food from a chasana that you weren't participating in.
Right.
But is that what you're saying? Were you just addressing the issue about eating the meat that was served at the siyum?
I'm just talking eating the meat. That's all I meant. Okay. All right, next point. Bathing and showering and swimming during the 9 days. So, Ashkenazim generally are machmir from tonight. What does Sfardim do? Anybody know?
The week of me.
Let's clarify that. You're not saying you shouldn't shower.
Sorry, the custom.
The custom is to maybe not on with cold or cooler water, right?
Hold on. The custom is, I'll discuss in just a second. I just want to discuss the time. We'll clarify in a second. First, I want to clarify the time period. Which time period are we talking about here? So, Ashkenazim is clearly from Rosh Chodesh Av. Sfardim is two opinions of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, he quotes both opinions, whether it's from Rosh Chodesh Av or from Shavuot Shechalbo. Okay, it seems like many of the Sfardi poskim are makil on this one, and for this particular case, they say you can follow only Shavuot Shechalbo. Okay, the Kaf HaChai mentions this, the Alfi Yosef mentions that, which essentially means for Sfardim that they can, according to those that follow that approach, they can take hot showers and go swimming or whatever this year all the way up to Tish, basically the whole time. Okay. Now, it happens to be, I think, in Yavid Yamin, the pool is closed the whole 9 days, right?
No. Except for 18 plus hours.
It's the first thing in the morning.
Except for 18 plus hours. But that's for swimming, exercise, not for
exercise. Okay, fine. So if exercise, one could argue maybe it's permissible. But the rest of the time, it's basically closed. Okay, interesting. Anyway, second maker, then for many Sfardim that are making on that point, it would probably be okay.
So can you go swimming for the exercise in the morning?
Put it this way. If your main purpose is really only for exercise, Mazer?
No
Beretz Israel. Okay, that sounds good to me. Not here. Here's the thing. Okay, if it really was only for exercise. Ma?
Can?
Okay. Yes, Ah, Ivanti. Ah, kilo. As I told you, the schot par the glazesh. That.
Still swimming.
For swimming, so I would think like this. I think that if you really were only doing it only for exercise and you don't get any enjoyment out of it, then maybe you could argue that it's okay.
And even running exercise, however,
most I'm talking about like enjoyment of like being in the water. Most people do enjoy being in the water for swimming, even if unless it's freezing cold.
You'd be doing a different
exactly right. So that's why personally, I'm not such a fan. I think it's probably better not to, because if you're at least also getting that enjoyment from being in the water, like swimming, you know, then you probably shouldn't do it. If the water is freezing cold, then you wouldn't be doing it other than the exercise factor. Then maybe you could argue that it's okay. But personally, at least for Ashkenazim, I would say that probably should be machmir on it. Personal opinion. Again, you might be able to get a different opinion, but...
So I'll get a lion tomorrow.
You what?
I'll get a lion.
That was your plan?
Well, I was thinking about... I was in 2 minds about Radash fishermen.
I hear. Okay, again, personally, I'd say it's... I would think it's preferable not to, but, you know, I could hear the other side. Okay, in terms of showering and bathing and stuff like
when
that...
When we were in camp, they would make a big deal about instructional swimming.
So I mentioned this with the women's shear, yeah. So this distinction...
The rabbis here in the community came out and said that closed during the 3 hours.
Right.
But those who exercise, I mean, whatever. Some people...
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I think if it's done for exercise, I think strictly speaking, it should be permissible.
I've got 56 at heart disease. I've been encouraged to exercise.
A whole different story. That's not just exercise because you feel like exercising.
That's what everyone's doing. I mean, most people aren't talking. During the men's hours, most people are doing back and forth. It might say, hey, Hal, good, have a good swim, whatever.
Put it this way. If you're not
talking, it's not a social hour, it's not like the other hours.
I understand. My question is still just more whether you are getting enjoyment out of it. So if you're doing it because it's a medicinal need, then for sure it's mutter. That I'm not talking about. That for sure is mutter. I'm talking about it's not a medicinal need. It's good exercise, but you also could go jogging instead.
Yeah,
you go swimming, but why do you go swimming as opposed to jogging?
Because it's too hot.
So okay, fine. So it could be, but that's part of the point, though. That's exactly, I think, what we were saying. That's why personally I would say that, you know, it would be a slight, maybe more than slight, but a preference to not go swimming for that reason. But again, if push comes to shove, I wouldn't tell you that it was usher if it was done for exercise. And certainly if it's done for medicinal reasons, it should be mutter. In terms of bathing and showering, so here basically the Shulchan Aruch says that hot water is definitely not okay. Bathing or showering in hot water is definitely not okay. And Mishnah Berurah and the Rama and others add in that if you wash your whole body in cold water, that's also not okay. Meaning if you're bathing for pleasure or enjoyment, even in cold water, the custom is also to machmir on that. Why then is it permissible to take a shower during the 9 days, assuming that it is permissible? Who told you it's permissible? Let's hope that it is right, otherwise we're really in trouble. And the answer is, anybody know?
Because we're weak.
You're close. So not weak, but a different term. Yeah, that's right. That's basically right. Correct. Okay, that's what most of the hygiene. Hygienically. Okay, this is what most of the posts are. Ayur Kutra, Moshe, Istinish, right. All the posts say this, basically, Bizman Hazeh. Okay. The Bizman Hazeh, our hygiene standards are a little bit different than they were 100 years ago. And therefore, today, the same way that medicinally and dirt-wise, it's permissible, even on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to wash off dirt if you get dirt on yourself. So too, during the 9 days, if you take a shower because you're dirty, or smell, or whatever, all those kinds of things, it's generally permissible. Now, does that mean that you'll be allowed to shower in hot water during the 9 days? The answer is
no.
Okay, most Muslims say that hot water should not be used. Friday afternoon, there are some Muslims say that it is allowed. So Friday afternoon, B'chol Shabbos, there's room to be naked if you want. Though if it's hot outside, I personally enjoy a lukewarm shower anyway. Lukewarm is permissible. Okay, lukewarm is for sure fine. Mayim poshrim. That's definitely okay. We're talking about warm, very warm water or hot water.
Have a lukewarm shower.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's still fine. Okay. In terms of soap and shampoo, so again, believe it or not, there are some posts that are machmir on soap and shampoo that you should not use it, but the minhag is to be makil. Why? Because today, soap and shampoo are not just for pleasure and luxurious purposes, they're for, cleanliness and hygiene, correct. So that's why Bizman Hazeh, almost everybody, minhag today is generally that it's permissible.
So someone asked me yesterday, why can't you take a cold shower? Because it is so hot here that it's actually a pleasure to take a cold shower.
I understand. It's just a distinction in terms of the halacha, how they view cold and hot. Okay, cold, hot is considered to be an extra, additional level of pleasure. And that's true, maybe not during this time of year, but in general, it's defined automatically as being more pleasurable to take a hot shower. So the fact that you cool off, as long as it's something which you need, not because you enjoy it because it's like swimming, but rather because you're dirty and whatever, smell, stuff like that. So that's considered to be, that's why it generally would be fine. Okay. You're right. Again, you could discuss it more, and there is discussion, but the bottom line is that I think everybody holds that it's fine. Okay. For that reason. Okay, what else did we not get to? We have to finish up here. Let me just see what else. Did we get everything? No, we didn't talk about clothing at all. Ooh, that's bad. Okay. Clothing. Wash clothes. What'd you say?
You said it'd be too late anyhow.
It'd be too late. That was the last. We need to talk about, though, wearing clothing now. I mean, what can you do now?
Okay.
You can
stop on it.
Mentioned briefly. Again, just in terms of the rules right now. The rules right now are that I generally do not wear freshly washed clothing during the 9 days, even if it was washed beforehand. And also, you're not allowed to wash clothing during the 9 days, even if you plan on wearing it only after the 9 days. Okay? Both points are usser. Okay? Everybody got that? That you can't wash. What did you say?
We got the general rule. Okay. Exceptions for babies and whatever.
Okay. So basically, good. Okay. So for washing clothing, all clothing is generally not supposed to be washed during the 9 days. Okay. In terms of wearing clothing that was newly washed, so that in general the custom is to permit undergarments. Okay. Undershirts and socks and all sorts of stuff like that.
And even new ones, theoretically, if you have new socks that you haven't worn before?
It's better to avoid. New socks is more, new garments are more problematic. If you need them and you don't have any, you can be making them. But in general, any new garments should not be worn during the 9 days, ideally, if you can help it. But freshly washed undergarments would be permissible. Why? Because those are generally worn more for sweat purposes and, other things like that, not as like a nice piece of clothing. So that's generally permissible. But you should only wear, pants and shirts and stuff like that that has been previously worn in some form, or we mentioned also last time, if you want to step on it a little bit. So I did that. Also, I found today, I forgot where it was, and I think in a row of Zinner, did they take a real somewhere else, where they point out that if you want to rely on that, they don't mean like putting it on your, you know, floor here. They mean like the real ground outside. So it's not going to be as easy to do that if you want to follow that. I guess if you step on it with your shoes, that probably have the same effect. Okay, if your shoes that have been outside, you step on it with it rather than just put it on the floor, I would say that probably is the same thing. But to just stick it on the floor on the ground here, that's not going to do it. All right, to put it on the ground, you have to put it outside. I think stepping on it probably is still okay. With he's talking shoe. About what? With the shoe. Correct. That's why I think we mentioned this last week. Very good. Okay. What clothes can you wash during the 9 days? So basically, the exceptions are for kids, children's clothing. If the children do not have enough clothing to last because they get dirty or this and that, so it would be permissible to wash things that they need during the 9 days. You shouldn't wash more, and you can't throw in your clothing together with it. Okay, that's considered to be a lack of the respect for the Avelus, but what's necessary would be permissible. I have this right now with my son, who's in the middle of trying to get toilet trained, and he goes through like about, you know, 5 pairs of shorts and 6 pairs of underpants per day. So, and he only has about 8. So we're definitely going to have to try to wash stuff during the 9 days. It's not great, but, you know, what are you supposed to do? That's permissible. Okay, if you have clothing of your own that, again, you didn't prepare properly, you should prepare, and hopefully you did, but if you don't have, let's say you run out at some point during the week, and you need more, so then you'd be allowed to wash at least 1 or 2 pairs, that anything that you need for the 9 days, not more than that, but at least something that you need, that would be permissible. If you get stuck, again, I think we mentioned, if you get stuck and you don't have the right kind of clothing, and you have like home clothing, but you don't have work clothing, or if you're going out, if you're doing something else, and you need to have nicer clothing, and you don't have the kind of clothing that you need, so that also be included in the same kula, that you'd be allowed to wash what you need, but only what you need and nothing more.
Not too off topic.
Yeah.
Wearing clothes on Shabbos, you would not normally wear in Shabbos.
Okay, so good.
For the week.
So Shabbos, in terms of Shabbos, so again, new clothing on Shabbos in general is not is recommended to avoid. Probably shouldn't be done. Though again, there may be something to make on that as well if you need. But
preparing for other days.
So that is right. So let's say that you shouldn't do. But if you're wearing like a washed white shirt on Shabbos, okay, there's also questions of hachan if you wear like a that seems to be that's questionable. It's probably better not to be done. It's questionable. But if you ask me, well, let's say I didn't put on my white shirt for Shabbos beforehand, and I want to wear my white shirt, which is freshly washed, on Shabbos, is that okay?
And can you wear it even for like Friday night before Mincha?
Yes, that's fine, as long as it's like close to Shabbos. You know, they'd be putting on like from Plaga Mincha, you know, an hour and a half before, or whatever. That probably okay.
I think you should have your shine before.
Some say that even from Chatzos is permissible. It depends on the situation. If you're already getting dressed for Shabbos and you're getting dressed for Shabbos at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's a good question. I have to think about it a little more. I think there's room to make ill. I think there's room to make ill about that. But, you know, if you could wait, there probably is room to make ill also till later. I did see that discussed, and I don't remember exactly what they said about that point. Certainly from, like, you know, Plaga Mincha on for sure it's permissible. But earlier than that in the day, I think, is a question, but it's mistaken if you were to make ill if you were planning anyway on wearing your Shabbos clothes during that time. That's what I would think. I'll have to take a look a little more and see. But again, in terms of, you know, nice white clothes on Shabbos, so there's different opinions about that as well, whether it's better to wear your Shabbos clothes before Shabbos or not. So there's room, either way, there's room to look at either direction. Okay, either to say that you should machmer and wear it beforehand, or to say that it's fine to wear white clothes, you know, your Shabbos clothes and not having worn them beforehand. Somebody asked me about a shetel. The same thing would be true for a shetel as well, that hadn't been worn beforehand. Can you wear a shetel for the first time on Shabbos? So I said the same thing. It's shetel is basically like a piece of clothing. So it seems that not a new one. It's just a freshly washed, freshly laundered, freshly washed one. So that I think should be the same thing. That
on
if
you, Shabbos, you can wear freshly laundered.
So that's what I'm saying. There's different opinions about it. So there's if you want to be makil, there's room to makil, but it's not so clear that it's permissible. I shouldn't say it's not so clear that the best thing to do is to wear it. It seems like there's, you know, reason to be machmir if you could be machmir as well. Here, I'll see what Rabbi Eider says here. Number one, there's a question anyway whether you should wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon. I think we mentioned this last week. Okay, there was a very prevalent minhag in Europe that people wore like their non-Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon. Okay, and this year we have 2 Shabboses for the 9 days. But the custom today is to follow the Gra, that we generally do wear Shabbos clothes during this time. And he says, Rabbi Eier says, nowadays most people conduct themselves like the minhag of the Gra to permit changing to Shabbos garments even when Tisha B'Av occurred on Shabbos. This is permissible even if they were freshly laundered or clean. The Mishnah Berurah says, Okay, and then he mentions the same Mishnah Berurah, Sukkot Memhei, who says that we said before that new garments in general should not be worn on Shabbos. Okay. He says here also, by the way, who asked before about the changing clothes on Shabbos. If you're wearing, like, Shabbos clothes, meaning let's say you change your shirt from Friday morning, Friday night to Shabbos morning, and you wear a Shabbos shirt, two different Shabbos shirts. So then once it's worn, you probably can wear that shirt during the week. If it's like a shirt that you might wear during the week, that might be okay. But to, like, dafka put on a weekly shirt on Shabbos, even for an hour, that I think is probably not okay. Okay, so that's the story. Again, as I said before, some are machmer that you shouldn't wear new, freshly laundered clothing on Shabbos as well, but there's definitely room to be making all that better. I think there's Harari in the Green Saper quotes both sides, and he tends towards the machmer side about the laundered clothing on Shabbos. Rabbi Iyer seems to say that you could be makil. So that's the story with that. Okay, any other questions? I think we covered most of the halachos here. I think we got almost everything. Any questions?
If you run out of underwear, is it better to wash it or buy new?
Good question. Probably to wash. Probably to wash. I think either one would be okay, depending on what's better. If you have one or the other option, you could do what you need. But if you have both options, it's probably better to wash than to buy new. I would think. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think we covered almost everything here. Believe it or not. Yeah. We didn't get every detail, but we got most of the basic halachos. Okay. So I'll repeat what we said at the beginning, which is that that again during this time period, our goal here is to throw a lot of halachas on ourselves in order to not to make our life difficult, but rather to get ourselves in the spirit, in the mood of the Avelos during the 9 days and of 3 weeks. So did I mention this last week about Shabbos specifically? I think I didn't mention this, but some of the Sfarim, some of the specific Hasidus and others point out that Shabbos, specifically during the 3 weeks and during the 9 days, is an especially unique time to try to feel the spirit of the time. The spirit of the time means not just Avelos, because we don't really have Avelos on Shabbos, but to feel, the idea of the longing and the lacking, meaning that you feel like you want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we miss you. We don't see you in the world. We sense you a little bit, but we don't sense all, as much as we could sense. And that feeling on Shabbos, specifically during the 3 weeks and during the 9 days, is something which you want to sort of develop a little bit more. So again, my personal perspective on that particular comment is that Bizman Hazet makes perfect sense, because Bizman Hazet, we can't think about anything during the week. We're so busy during the week that you even to start thinking about the idea of Avelus or the lack of the Beis Hamikdash is not something that we can just wrap ourselves around during that time, because we're really, our minds are in 25 different places. But on Shabbos, when you have a chance to relax, and maybe you'll have a few minutes to sit and think on your own or take a walk for a few minutes or whatever, anything like that, so it really makes a lot of sense that Shabbos should be the special time that you think about coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we call Hiskarvus, getting close to Him, and the Gaguim, the yearning for Hashem, and the yearning for, again, what we said before, we started with the Hitgalut of the revelation of Hashem, and seeing Hashem's presence in this world. Hopefully Shabbos is a time that you can really sort of sense that we're missing some of this, and we want to say, Hashem, we want you back. Please come back. Bring yourselves back. And again, Baruch Hashem, we started the process here, coming back to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, but we have a long way to go before we get there. And Bezer Hashem, we should be able to recognize what we're missing, and to daven to Hashem, and follow the Nehugei Avelus, and come close to Hashem during the time period of Shabbos and the rest of the 9 days, and get ourselves to the point of calling this Avel Yerushalayim, somebody who mourns for Yerushalayim will be Zochet, to see in the Simcha, hopefully not just in Olam Haba, but also in Olam Hazeh, hopefully very, very soon in our days. We'll see not just the partial, a little bit of the Gula that we see today, but the complete Gula with the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. And,